Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I really believe that congregations should, in some way, be communities. I really think that Jesus called us, when we start to follow him, to not do it alone. And so I'd like to explain why I'm here, and because I've been here many times before. Does anybody remember what I said at one time about what's the worst part of being here, of supplying for Jim? What'd I say? Because he's not here. There's no chance for him to learn anything. Oh, no, I didn't say that. No, what I said was Jim and I have been friends for a long, long time. The other thing I think I said was that I retired as the rector of St. Matthew's, and Bernie and Beth and Kristen were members of, and so we've had, again, a very long friendship. And so for me, this is like a double blessing to be here. And I like being here too, because I don't know, there's something about you that kind of fits in as far as like sense of humor and a little bit tolerant of stuff. What I'd like to do this morning with the sermon is, I guess, three parts. I was overwhelmed with a number of topics in the scriptures to deal with, and so you have to start kind of whittling those down. And I also think that the most important thing that we're doing this morning is the baptism of, I'm going to say Ellie, is that okay? But we'll say Eleanor when we do the water kind of thing. What I agreed to with this is that this is probably the only chance I will have to hold her, right? Because it's going to be a challenge. I want to talk about that. I guess what I'd like to do is to, again, to start with a couple of reflections on the scriptures, and then I want to talk about Jesus, and then I want to talk about Ellie. When we read from the Epistle of James, he says some very interesting things about the tongue. And I don't know if it's any more important time than any other to be careful about how we speak. I would have used the imagery that the tongue is a two-edged sword. It can free or it can kill. Either way, it works that way. And I think we're probably all aware, if we stop and we think about it, how much damage we can do. I'm old enough that when I was growing up, we had that saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." That was probably the biggest lie that I was ever told. And now I think we're aware, with social media, with teenage suicides, how much hurt can happen. There is going to be a question that you are going to be asked as a congregation, as part of the baptismal ceremony. And that question is, will you protect the dignity of every human being? Now you think about that for a while, because we just go through it really quick, oh, it's our part of the ceremony and whatever, and you would love to say, let's just stop right there. Think before you answer. Will you protect the dignity of every human being? Why? Because we're all children of God. Don't tell me we come from any place else. There is only one creator. And so we're all brothers and sisters. And I think that's exactly what Jesus said. When we move to the gospel, again, it's something we go over really quick. If you put it in context and you look at Mark's gospel, it's prefaced by three miracles that Jesus does. The first one is a non-Jew the daughter of a Syro-Phoenician woman. The next person is a deaf person, and the next person is a blind person. And I think Mark does that probably on purpose, because he is very clearly trying to define who Jesus is and what his ministry is. And then we come to today's gospel, where they have the closest apostles, friends of Jesus, with him, and he asks, who do people say that I am? And for me, that's kind of, who cares, in a way. But again, Jesus, do you think he's worried about his reputation? For me, it was a setup, because after they said this and this and this, then Jesus asks a very pointed question. Who do you? That's what's important. We're talking about a relationship. We're talking about people who have been with him for some time. And again, this is where I like to stop the sermon and say, here's your paper and pencil. Who do you say Jesus is? It's hard to define. I'm going to tell you that. And I have been at sometimes most impressed with who people say Jesus, other times totally depressed. I think you're defining a circus clown or a magician or something. Give me a break. Have you ever read the Gospels? And then I have trouble. I've said that when we do the Feast of Christ the King, because that's the one title Jesus never wanted. Well, what does he do with again at the Last Supper? He washes people's feet, and he says, as I have done, so you should do. Well, maybe we don't like washing feet, so let's make him a king, because I like to be a king. No, that's not kind of what this is about. It's interesting when I ask that question, who do you say Jesus is? Because sometimes it's fun to ask people, what's your definition of God? That's even more problematic, because we go back to the Old Testament. God says, you can't define me. I am who I am. Yahweh, don't even use my name, because I am so far kind of from that. What I want to offer you this morning is some, it's not my kind of reflections as much as it is someone else's. This is summer. Jim texted me and asked me what I thought about convention. And I said, I'm on vacation in Pensacola, I'm retired. Why do I care about? No, I really do care about convention. So anyway, my daughter was with me, who is an Episcopal priest, and so I said, Michelle, what do you know about convention? She said, Dad, I'm on vacation with you. Anyway, so I had to do my own homework. And so when I started to look at the convention, the first thing that caught my attention was a sermon and then three addresses by our presiding bishop. His name is Michael Curry. You probably know him from where? The Royal Wedding, thank you. Yeah, yes. He made, obviously, you know, headlines. I mean, everybody was interviewing him, whatever. Michael Curry is inspiring to me. And when you ask, who do you say that I am? Jesus asked that. Michael Curry, his answer would be, I'm trying to paraphrase, you are kind of the epitome of what it means to love. And you are the beginning of a movement. And constantly, Michael Curry is referring to the Jesus movement. Why are you here this morning? I'm part of the Jesus movement, plain and simple. And with that, when you say, okay, what is the Jesus movement? Probably the easiest way to explain that would be to go back to Matthew's gospel, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? What is life all about? What are we supposed to be doing? And the response is to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole being, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang everything. All the law, all the prophets. So whatever you do, when you do that, you go back and you bounce it off of the Jesus movement. The Jesus movement is this, plain and simple, in Michael Curry's words, the transformative power of love. And for me, that's what baptism is. Baptism is people who care about this little girl is saying, we want to induct you into the transformative power of love. Sometimes I think that maybe that's what we should be doing with sermons, is simply asking people to tell their stories. I don't know if you've ever been to an open AA meeting. For me, they are powerful. And there's a lot of self-disclosure because the people who are speaking are in very safe environments, knowing that they're no different than anybody else. I tell people that one of the most powerful I ever heard was a gentleman, and he talked a bit about his life and what it was like, and then what happened. What happened was he was drunk in the gutter. He said, literally. He said, the intervention wasn't really hard. They had to pick me up. That's all there was. And they took me to a treatment place. And he said, and then I responded to treatment. And I want to tell you what my life is like now. He went on to say, oh, by the way, I was the inventor of Elsie the cow for Borden's Dairy. He said, I was at the top. I couldn't have gotten any higher as far as public relations and advertising and whatever, and I couldn't have gotten any lower than the gutter. And he said, I want to tell you about my life now. And so I was thinking, wouldn't that be fascinating if we had the time to say, has love transformed you? If so, how? And I really do think if we could find a safe environment, pretty safe bet, that love has made us all different. And that's why we're here, because we are responding to that, that it is a powerful, powerful movement. And I love what Michael Curry says, where he says, the Episcopal Church is just one branch of the Jesus movement. There are a lot of other branches. We're not in competition with them. We're in cooperation with them. And think of what our world would be like if we were able to do that. Can I hold her for a minute? See, did I? Yeah. See? Oh, no. Okay. Can you do it without it? Huh? What I love doing baptisms because I have a standard sermon. My daughter was preaching today up in Georgia, and I was saying, what are you going to do with the sermon? Because I'm going to be preaching. She said, Dad, just do your baptism sermon. And because it's old, but you probably haven't heard it a lot. And what I love to do is I ask the parents, how much do you love this child? And the response is universal. I have yet to have a single parent, because I say on a scale of 1 to 10, what's the average response? No, you're too low. No one, they won't do that. They won't stay on the chart. Why? Because they say, if you're trying to measure that in terms of normal relationships, whatever, you can't. This is immeasurable. But then I get creative, and I say, why? Why would you say, I love this child? 12 is usually the average kind of thing. And I will say, Ellie, what do you do for them? Did you make coffee this morning? No. Did you get the paper? No. Did you offer a back rub or anything like that? No. Then I say, you're pretty useless, aren't you? What does she do? She, more than anything, clearly defines our relationship with our God, which is unconditional love. And if I say to them, can she do anything that would make you love her less? She can. She'll barf on you. She will mess her diapers. She'll wake you up in the middle of the night. Won't she? Yeah, and you'll get up and, oh yeah. I remember praying for that. Thank God, just let these kids sleep one night through the night. And I wasn't the one that had the responsibility for that even. So what I would love to do, I'm not gonna do it. All right, just chill out, Kristen. No, I would love to just pass her around. Because, you know why? You cannot explain the transformative power of love. You have to experience it. And this is how you experience it. By holding someone who is so precious and so vulnerable that, you know, they have two hands underneath. Yeah, I'm being careful how I walk. Yeah, because for me, kind of that was what it's about. Well, the other thing was, I said, okay, we don't have time to do that. And so my second thought was, tell me who's hurting the most this morning. Who needs to be reassured that you're okay, that you are? And then I would say, just hold this baby for 30 seconds and tell me how you feel. And for the moment, okay, you want to go back, I know, yeah. See, yeah, okay. I'm going to let you go back. Oh, yeah. And it doesn't hurt that she's so pretty either, no, with that. I'm going to end it there because I've spoken enough, and I think you get the gist of what this is all about and why we're here. And so I'm going to turn over to Jim. He's going to invite the presenters, whatever, to do something. He's not going to learn, is he? Is he?